Father, we do want to thank you that your word is a living word. It's sharp and it can penetrate and it can accomplish divine purposes. And Lord, we do pray that this morning, Lord, you'd help us in our weakness. Lord, help me as I speak, grant me your anointing and authority. But we pray for our ears to be open as well. Oh, Father, touch our ears, we pray, that we would hear what the Spirit is saying and you'd give us the grace to respond. Father, we want to be a responsive people, a people that hear the word and then do the word. Help us, we pray. Amen. Well, Jeremiah 21, verse 8 to 10. And then we're going to turn to Deuteronomy 30 after that. Jeremiah 21, first of all. You shall also say to the people, thus says the Lord, behold, I set before you the way of life and the way of death. He who dwells in the city will die by the sword and by famine and by pestilence. But he who goes out and falls away to the Chaldeans who are besieging you will live, and he will have his own life as booty. For I have set my face against this city for harm and not for good, declares the Lord. It will be given into the hand of the king of Babylon, and he will burn it with fire. Keep your finger in that page, and then we're going to turn to Deuteronomy 30. And we're going to read from verse 15 to 20. See, I have set before you today life and prosperity, and death and adversity, in that I command you today to love the Lord your God, to walk in his ways and to keep his commandments and his statutes and his judgments, that you may live and multiply, and that the Lord your God may bless you in the land where you are entering to possess it. But if your heart turns away and you will not obey, but are drawn away and worship other gods and serve them, I declare to you today that you shall surely perish. You will not prolong your days in the land where you are crossing the Jordan to enter and possess it. I call heaven and earth to witness against you today that I have set before you life and death, the blessing and the curse. So choose life in order that you may live, you and your descendants, by loving the Lord your God, by holding fast to him, for this is your life and the length of your days, that you may live in the land which the Lord swore to your fathers, to Abraham, Isaac and Jacob, to give them. And in both these versions, we see the Lord setting before the people of Israel a way of life and a way of death. And I must admit, I didn't realize until I was at the prayer meeting yesterday that this passage has been misused by the Archbishop of Canterbury recently, where he's talking about climate change and the need to choose life. But actually, he doesn't mean the life that God is talking about. He means to choose the life of the planet and look after the planet and all the rest of it. So it's tragically been misused. But God sets before us a way of life and of death that has eternal consequences. This isn't just for this life. Those that think that this is just referring to this life, then let's think again, friends. The Lord is setting before us, yes, in terms of Israel, it was for this life, but it was for their future generations as well. But for us, God sets before us a way of life and a way of death. And the applications in this for us as believers, go back to the Jeremiah 21 passage first of all. First of all, I want to say this, that the Old Testament has things for us to learn. It's not a different part of our Bible that is out of date, sadly taught or even ignored by many. 1 Corinthians 10 verse 11, let me just find that and read that to you, says this, and there's a tendency that we can sort of ignore the Old Testament and think it hasn't got much to teach us. Well, actually, the Old Testament was Jesus' Bible. He didn't have the New Testament. He used the Old Testament, as we would call it, and the Torah. 1 Corinthians 10 verse 11. Now these things happened, Paul says, as an example, talking about the people of Israel and their entering into the promised land, their leaving of Egypt, and the whole of their history, really. These things happened to them as an example, and they were written for our instruction, upon whom the ends of the ages have come. These things, friends, have been written for our instruction. Isn't it wonderful that God wants to use the history of this people to teach us things? And there are things that we can learn from this. The first passage, Jeremiah 21, the context there is that the people of Israel have been warned time and time again by God, don't follow idols, Don't worship false gods. Follow the law. Listen to what I'm telling you. Give heed to what I'm saying. But time and again, they just went astray. And they were deep in idolatry. They went deep into idolatry. And now God has had enough. And now Jerusalem is now a place of judgment. It's a place that God has determined to judge at this period in time. And God is saying to the people of Israel that are living in Jerusalem, I'm setting a way of life and a way of death before you. You have to choose. Isn't that wonderful? God leaves the choice to us. He doesn't force us to do it. He doesn't push us through the door. He wants us to choose willingly because he wants a people that will choose for him. And he's ever been that way. He doesn't want robots. He wants human beings that choose to love him and follow him and serve him. And who have a relationship with him. So, Zedekiah, the king at the time, keeps sending for Jeremiah. What has the Lord said? You have to go and read the passages there and go to the Chronicles as well and you'll see more of it. What has God said? Almost in a false, deluded hope that God would change his mind. Despite the fact there'd been no repentance in Jerusalem, there'd been no change of heart, they were still living in idolatry and sin. And Zedekiah sends for Jeremiah. Or he sends his men to Jeremiah and says, go and see what Jeremiah says. Hoping that perhaps God had changed his mind. And God does change his mind at times. God will change his mind when you and I repent, when we turn from sin, we come out from out of his judgment and we come under grace and into his favour. God can change his mind about judgment upon our own country if there's a turning to him in part. He doesn't expect the whole country to turn, but what he does expect is the church to begin to recognise the need to turn and to bring something of a repentance on behalf of the nation and to acknowledge the sin in the church and outside the church, of course, as well, but particularly in the church. So you see, God can and does change his mind. We know that from Jonah. God had determined judgment upon Nineveh. But God said, if they turn, so he sent Jonah. Jonah preached quite a strong message, saying that God is going to wipe you out. But if you turn, I don't know if you even said that, you're going to read it yourself. But because he preached that message that God had sent him, there was the turning. And God relented from sending calamity. We read that time and again in Scripture. God relented from sending calamity. That's always God's first intention. He doesn't send calamity because he loves sending calamity. He loves judging and making life difficult for us. He relents from sending calamity often because he doesn't want to. But he has to at times because there hasn't been the response, and there's gross immorality and gross idolatry in Jerusalem. So Jerusalem was now a place of judgment. And Zedekiah was living in this delusion, really, that God would change his mind, even though there'd be no response to God. And you know, we can live in something of that delusion in ourselves, in this land, in the church, thinking that, oh, God is, you know, COVID is past now, it's over, we can then carry on as before. Friends, God's hand is still stretched out against us. God's hand is still stretched out against us as a nation because of the gross idolatry in the land, even in the church. And yet, God would relent in a moment if he got the response he was looking for. It doesn't take much for God to turn. He just looks for that response for the heart. And that turning to him. And Zedekiah is almost self-deceived. And even as individuals, we can be a bit like that, can't we? Have you met many that think that if they live a good life and they get to the end of their life, they will be fine. Deluding themselves, perhaps God will accept them. When God makes it very clear from his word what he has determined, and God doesn't change in this respect. Sin has to be dealt with. There has to be a response to God and what he's done for us in Christ. And if there's not, God is not going to change his mind because we're a super person, or because I've gone to church every Sunday, or because I've done this or done that. God looks for a response to what Jesus has done for us. And so we come to this place in Jerusalem. Jerusalem is a place of judgment. But there was a way of escape. God said, if you leave Jerusalem, if you come out of Jerusalem, you will live. And there was There were some that did that, but most people stayed in Jerusalem, hoping for the best, pretending that what God was saying through Jeremiah wasn't going to happen. But God isn't like a man. He doesn't say one thing and then does another thing. When God says something, he means it. So when God says one day there is going to be a time where we will all stand before God and give an account of our lives, he means it. He doesn't say that just as a whim. He says it because he means it, friends. We will have to stand before God one day. And God gives the Israelites, the Judeans, in Jerusalem, a way of escape. And the same way of escape is there for you and I today. For every human being. If we but respond to the Lord Jesus Christ, we can come out of this place of sin and judgment. You see, naturally, you and I are in a place of judgment. We are born into that place of judgment. You might not like it. You might react against it. But it doesn't change the fact of it. That you and I, when we are born sinful. Even before you've done anything wrong, in a sense, we are sinful by nature. And therefore you're under the wrath of God. Now you might not like that. I don't like it. But it's truth. It is the truth of Scripture. But you see, God doesn't want us to stay in that place. He doesn't want us to stay in a place of judgment and wrath. He has given a way of escape. And the way is Christ Jesus. He is the only way of escape. And if you've not come out of that place of judgment this morning, friends, whether you're at home or in this place, you can come out of the way of judgment. You can come out of the place of judgment. There is a way of escape. It is in Christ. By giving him your life, by responding to what he's done at Calvary, you can come out of that place of judgment and you can escape with your life. Isn't that wonderful that God has done that for us? It cost him everything, friends. It cost him his own dear son. The Lord Jesus had to die in our place to take that. Sin still had to be dealt with, of course. God doesn't overlook sin. Which is why if we don't respond to what Jesus has done for us, we will have to pay the penalty ourselves. Eternally. But when we respond to what Christ has done, accept that he's done it on our behalf, and respond to that in repentance and faith, then we are no longer under wrath. We've come out of the place of judgment and we've come into the place of life. We're no longer in the place of death, but in the place of life. And God sets that way before us all. But I want to move on from there, friends, because back to that Deuteronomy passage, because there's a way of life also for us as believers. One other thing I forgot to mention from Proverbs 16 verse 25. You just jot that down, won't turn to it. But it says this in Proverbs 16 verse 25. There is a way that seems right to a man, but the end thereof is death. And that's so true, isn't it? You know, we can deceive ourselves and think that, you know, there's life in what we're doing, that there's good in what we're doing. But what does God say? It's God's judgment that matters, isn't it? And sadly, Zedekiah didn't listen to that. Zedekiah actually was taken captive. If you read what happened to him, it's not very pleasant. The Chaldeans had the horrendous torture of plucking out the eyes of this man. But before he died, they killed his sons in front of him. They killed all his children in front of him. The last thing he saw before he died was his children being killed. Plucked his eyes out and he went into captivity and died in prison. How tragic. And yet there was a way of escape for him. But he chose not to take it. He chose not to take it. Well, back to that passage in Deuteronomy 30. Because even when we've come out of the place of judgment, we still have to walk in life. Because there's a passage in Hebrews 6. We won't look at it. But we are to be those who have repented from dead works. We still have a tendency in us to do things or be involved in things where there's no life. Where the Lord isn't present. I know it myself. I've taken things on thinking they were good things to do. But there was no life in them. They were dead works. And we need to be careful. We need to be careful. Even as believers this morning, if you're a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, we still need to choose the way of life and not ways of death. We still need to choose those ways that are going to prosper us and bring us into the blessing of God. Let's look at that passage again in Deuteronomy 30. See, I have set before you today life and prosperity. You see, in a sense, the people of Israel have been delivered out of Egypt. They're now coming into the promised land. You and I, if we know Christ, have been delivered from the place of judgment. We are now in life. And God sets before us a way of life and a way of death as believers. I have set before you the way of life and prosperity. You see, life with Christ is a prosperous one. I'm not saying prosperous as the world thinks prosperous. God may bless you with many things materially. He may not. Our brothers and sisters, some part of the world have nothing. And yet they are spiritually very rich and prosperous. God wants to prosper us in his Son. He wants us to follow the way of life and know that prosperity that we can find in Jesus. In that I command you today, and then it gives us a set of things whereby we can know that way of life. And there'll be evidence. Friends, if you're walking in the way of life as a believer this morning, there will be evidence in your life. It will be known. It will be seen. It talks one or two things about God blessing. It talks about multiplying. There's a fruitfulness about your life. There should be a fruitfulness about your life. But going on, how then do we walk in this way of life? I just want to answer that question now. How do we walk in that? How do we choose that way of life in the kingdom of God? How do we determine to walk in that way of life, not choose the way of death, not go down that path of dead works and do things where God is not present? And I'm speaking to us individually, but I'm also speaking to us corporately. Even as a church, we can be involved in things where there is no life, where there are dead works. Even our morning services can be dead if the Lord is not present. You know, our longing is that we meet with him, that he is with us in our meetings, that we know the life. So even though we may be born again and out of the place of judgment, we can in fact meet on a Sunday and there is no life amongst us. And we have laid out here one or two reasons why that may be and how we to maintain the life in our body as a believers and in our individual lives as well. Let's look at that. It says in verse 16, in that I command you today to love the Lord your God and to walk in his ways and to keep his commandments, his statutes and his judgments. See, God commands us to love him. We need to love God. We need to give him our heart devotion. And love isn't something sentimental here. Yes, it'll involve our emotions, but this is a matter of the will. We choose to love God. And how do we do that? By obeying his commandments. Turn with me to John chapter 14. This isn't just a new Old Testament thing. This is throughout Scripture. See, God doesn't give us different things in the new and the old in a sense. Yes, there's a difference, but the principles are the same. John 14 and it's John 15. Both these chapters actually have these this sort of sense about obedience and loving God. Look at verse 9 of chapter 3. Just as the Father has loved me, I've also loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love. Just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. 1 John has the same thing. John 14 over the page, opposite page in my Bible, says this. He who does not love me does not keep my words. See, friends, we cannot divorce loving God and obeying him. Loving God and obedience are all part of the same thing. You can't tell me this morning, I love the Lord Jesus, I love God, and then you go and you live like the world. That's not true. You are deceiving yourself. Well, I'm not saying you're going to be perfect. Oh, none of us are perfect, friends, but there'll be a desire in your heart to live righteously, to do what God wants you to do, even if you fail from time to time. But you see, the desire needs to be that we want to obey God. You see, when we love someone, obedience isn't particularly difficult, is it? You know, just think of if you're in a family. Yes, okay, the sinful nature, the old nature, kicks up against it. I know you children, if your parents tell you to do something, you love them, but you might kick against that. But setting aside that for a moment, when we love someone, we don't find it hard to obey them, do we? And if we respect them as well, because I think it's all part of the same thing. If we don't respect and love somebody, it's very easy to kick against what they're saying and not obey them. Yes? If you've got a boss, if you're working under someone you don't respect, it's quite hard to obey them sometimes, isn't it? But you see, with the Lord Jesus Christ, if we love him, if we've seen what he's done for us, if we've responded with our heart devotion, and we've given him our hearts and our lives, obedience is easy. I'm saying it's easy in one sense. Yes, it's challenging. God does require that we set aside our own lives and set aside our own preferences and our own ambitions and all the rest of it. That's not easy. But it is potentially possible now to love God and to obey his commandments. And that's the evidence, friends, that we are loving God. We will be obedient to him. We'll be abiding in his love. 1 John 5 verse 3. Let me read that as well. That's another passage along these lines. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments. So this actually is defining the love of God as keeping his commandments. This is the love of God, that we obey his commandments, that we follow his commandments. Whoever loves the Father loves the child born of him as well. And Psalm 119, 131 is another passage as well. It's one of the things that we need to be doing as believers to make sure that these things are real for us, is that we need to make sure that the self-life isn't alive. Because that will always kick against obedience to what God is asking of us. Where we want to live selfishly, we want to live for ourselves, we want to do the things that please me. I want to fulfill my ambitions. Let God give you his ambitions, friends, for you. And back to Deuteronomy 31 again. If your heart turns away and you will not obey, but are drawn away and worship other gods and serve them, I declare to you today that you will surely perish. Critical to you and I loving the Lord and obeying his commandments is the heart. It is the heart, friends. God in Christ has given us a new heart, but there's always that old nature that's there. And we know that old heart, if you like, is exceptionally, desperately sick. Jeremiah tells us that. Jeremiah 17, verse 19, I think it is. The heart is desperately sick. So we need to guard our hearts. Proverbs tells us that. We won't turn there for the sake of time. Proverbs 4, verse 23 says, above all else, guard your hearts, for from it flows the springs of life. Friends, we need to guard our hearts as believers. We need to guard, first of all, what goes into our hearts. We need to watch what we put into our hearts. But we also need to guard what comes out of our hearts. The one wonderful thing God gives us when we become those born again of Christ and we're seeking to follow him, he gives us a vigilance about our own hearts. Yes, we don't see everything, but he will allow us to see things that are coming from our heart that are not good. But then, wonderfully, he gives us the ability to cut them off. So I haven't got to give in to them. So maybe a bad thought will come from my heart. But because I'm in Christ and I'm walking with him, I recognize it. It's not of Christ. It's not of the new man. It's of the old man. Then I have a choice. Am I going to choose the way of life or the way of death? Am I going to choose to put that thought away and put it to death, take it captive? Or am I going to choose to act according to that thought? You see, that's going to happen for every one of us as believers. When these thoughts come from our hearts and we recognize that they are of the old man, we have to deal with them. We may not see them all, because God is taking us on in our journey with him. And as we move on with him, become more sensitive to the Holy Spirit and is working in our lives, the Lord will show us more and more. If the Lord was to show me everything that's wrong about me, I'd probably be on the floor. I wouldn't be able to stand under the weight of it. And I suspect this is the same for all of us, isn't it? But God does show us increasingly things that are in our hearts that need dealing with. Because that's what he wants to change us and transform us to become more like his precious son. So choosing the way of life, friends, is choosing to deal with those things in our hearts that we see coming out of our hearts, that we know, and the Lord has given us the ability to see that they're not of Him. Let's put them to death. Let's have no truck with them. There's an amazing verse in Hebrews that says this. I will read this. I'll have to turn to Hebrews 3, verse 12. It says this: "Take care, brethren, that there not be in any of you an evil, unbelieving heart that falls away from the living God." The onus is on the believer. We might think, well, Lord, this is my heart. I've got to be true to my heart. And we hear that in the world all the time, don't we? Follow your heart. There's a cartoon the kids used to watch years ago. I forget what it was now. I think it was one of the Disney things. I think, follow your heart. Well, you've got to knock that on the head straight away, haven't you? We don't follow our hearts, friends. We follow the Lord. We follow Him. You see, it says there, "Take care, brethren, that there not be in any of you an evil, unbelieving heart." The potential is there for us as believers to have evil, unbelieving hearts. This is a word addressed to believers. It's not addressed to unbelievers. You see, the heart is desperately sick. That old heart of ours that the Lord has, that's there. The Lord has dealt with, yes, but it still wants to come back alive. And we still have those thoughts that keep coming to the fore. Even thoughts of unbelief. When we know thoughts of doubt and unbelief come in, friends, do not entertain them. If they do not match up with Scripture, there's only one thing to do with them. Put your foot on the neck of them. Take the life out of them. Don't entertain them. There is a teaching, I've heard it myself in Christendom, in Christianity, that says, oh yes, it's good to have doubts. Well, in one sense, yes, doubts need to be dealt with. But we don't entertain doubts. We don't feed doubts. We are fed by the Word of God. And if the Word of God is different to those doubts, we put the doubts to death, friends. It's got to be. And the problem comes, of course, and this is why it's a problem in the church, is because we give such little importance to the Word of God. The Word of God has been almost trivialized. Or it's an add-on, let's say. It's an optional extra. Or it contains the Word of God. No, friends, it is the Word of God. Every part of it. And we need to hold fast to that. And if our thoughts don't match up to the Word of God, we know what we have to do. Deal with the thoughts. The Word of God will stand eternally. Our thoughts need to be dealt with. So go back to Deuteronomy 30. Where were we? Love and obey the commandments of God. And it says again in verse 20, by loving the Lord your God, by obeying His voice. So there's a sense that we need to obey God's commands that are written in Scripture that we know are there for every single one of us. Without exception, as believers, they're there for us. The believer in Afghanistan and Nigeria and here in this country have the same commands in Scripture that we need to follow and obey. Not because we are trying to achieve favor with God that way, because we love God. And we want to obey His commands. But this is another aspect here. It is obeying the voice of God. And when God speaks to us through His Word, so this is where God is quickening something to us through the Word that's specifically for you and for me. It may not be for my brother next door. God is quickening something from the Word. I need a word of encouragement, and God quickens it to my heart. My brother next door doesn't need that encouragement. He's fine. He's progressing wonderfully in his Christian life. But I need a word of encouragement, and the Lord will quicken it to my heart. It may demand me doing something. That's where we need to obey. You see, I need to obey the voice of God. So my question again is to myself, are we hearing the voice of God? I don't mean the audible voice of God. I mean the voice through Scripture. Are we in the Scriptures in such a way that we are hearing Him speak? If we neglect the Word of God, we neglect hearing His voice. And therefore we are much the poorer for it. We can't enter the prosperous life God has for us. It's impossible. I will say it now. We cannot be living in prosperity without the Word of God. It's impossible. We cannot be in spiritual prosperity and blessing and fruitfulness if we are neglecting the word of God. It is impossible, because God has decreed it that way. So obeying the voice of God as well as the commandments of God, both these, two sides of the same coin in a sense. Okay, let's move on back to that passage. It then says, by loving the Lord your God, by obeying his voice, and by holding, this is verse 20, by holding fast to him. Friends, we need to hold fast to the Lord, despite all that's happening around us in the country. And what is going to take place in the days ahead, the years ahead, who knows? The Lord knows. But there may be much more shaking. What are we going to hold to? If you're holding to the things of this world, you will be shaken. It's a way of death. There's no life in that. But if you hold fast to the Lord Jesus Christ, then you will know something of a stability, a prospering, a way of life. There will be life about you, and people will see it. So people will say, as Fran said this morning, when they see us, there's something different about us, because we're not panicking because there's no petrol at the station. We're not in a fit of pique because something isn't going right in the nation and my finances are being affected. Because my shares have gone down. If you have shares. That doesn't affect the man or the woman who is clinging to Christ Jesus. Friends, cling to the Lord. Cling to him with all your heart. Don't let go of him. Even when there's whispering in your ears about from the enemy or the world, whatever. Cling to the Lord Jesus Christ. He is faithful. And what he said he will do for you, he will do for you. What he says in Scripture will be fulfilled. You can guarantee it. Cling to the Lord. Hold fast to him. Hold fast to what he says. And you will know the way of life. The way of life, friends, depends upon us holding fast the head of the church. It's true for us as a fellowship as well. If we as a fellowship are to know more of God's life amongst us and walk in that way of life, we need to hold fast to him as a group of believers. We need to hold fast to the head of the church. You see, the instructions that God wants us to give us as a church are not coming from the elders or the body. Yes, we all have a part to play in that. We are looking to the Lord to give us his way, to show us what we should be doing. That's why we play such an important role of prayer in the church. If we're not praying and seeking him, how are we going to get the sense of what he wants us to do? How are we going to hear? So prayer is vital, friends, for you individually and me individually, and for us corporately as well, if we're going to walk in that way of life and cling to him. By loving the Lord your God, by obeying his voice, and by holding fast to him, for this is your life and the length of your days, that you may live in the land which the Lord swore to your fathers, to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, to give them. The Lord has a land for us to live in, friends. A spiritual land, I'm talking about. Your spacious place for us. A way of life. And that way of life can only be entered into as we continue to follow him and hold fast to him and obey him and love him. To put him first in all things. To not let anything get between you and him. And me and him. He has to be first for us. And when we keep him in that exalted position, when we are holding fast to him, when we are seeking to put him first and to hear what he is saying and obey him, then, friends, there will be life in you and there will be life amongst us. And that life will be evident. It will be evident to those who come amongst us, those who meet you and me. It should be evident to them. They will see it. And there's a tremendous blessing here for those that come after us as well. Isn't it wonderful? God wants not only to bless the people of Israel going into the land, but their future generations as well. Now, sadly, they didn't hold fast to the Lord. Sadly, they chose the way of death and they started following idols and went into idolatry. And all the rest that goes with that. And they stopped walking in life. And it is very possible for us as believers. Yes, the Lord can hold us in terms of our salvation, but we can be walking in the way of death. Let's make sure that we walk in the way of life, and there will be benefits for all those around us, even the next generation that are coming through, those amongst us that are the next generation. We want them to see the life of Christ in us, don't we? We don't want them to see the way we sort of take on the world's ideas. We want them to see Christ in us, the hope of glory, so that they can put their trust in Him. The next generation, friends, the Lord wants them to walk in life as well. So friends, where are we this morning? Are we in a place of judgment still? If we're in a place of judgment, we need to come out of there, and there's only one way out of that place of judgment, that's in Christ. Putting our trust in Him alone. But then as believers, let's make sure we continue walking in life, holding fast the head, obeying all that He says, loving Him by obeying Him, and guarding our walk with Him. Guard your hearts, friends. I want to guard my heart. Let's guard our hearts. Let's pray. Father, we want to thank You this morning that there is a way of life for us. There's a way of life in Christ that brings us out of the place of judgment. But then there's a way of life that You want us to walk in as believers. And Father, where we're not doing that, will You show us? Will You convict us about that? Let us not put aside, help us not to sort of just put aside those convictions that You give us by Your Spirit, those checks that we have when we're doing things, involved in things that are not right. Dead works. Oh, Father, please help us to obey You by loving You, and to love You by obeying You, and to hold fast to You. We pray that for us individually, but we pray that for us as a body of believers. Lord, may the life of the Lord Jesus be ever present amongst us. We want to pray in increasing measure amongst us. We want to see more of the life of God amongst us. Oh, Father, may we see it in our day. We commit ourselves to You. Amen.